Hey guys, this is Life Talks with Scott. Today we're going to continue in our series on covenant. We are actually talking today about the covenant of at Mount Sinai. In other words, God's covenant with Moses and Israel. Yesterday we talked about God's covenant with Abraham. And again, Abraham, remember, that one's probably, for us as Christians and even the Jews, that's really one of the major covenants of our faith. You know, we always go back to the covenant of God made with Abraham. And remember, that came even from God's covenant through Noah and Adam. Okay, so these are all covenants that are built upon each other. So today, we're going to talk about God's covenant with Moses and Israel. Okay, through, you know, after their exodus from Egypt. Okay, and so I want to draw attention real quick to a verse that's found in Exodus 19:5-6, right? And so this is where we see God establishing a covenant with Israel, okay, the nation of Israel. In Exodus 19:5-6, it says this: "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." Okay, so here there's a couple things. One is God is still building upon his covenant with Abraham, right? Because Israel is a direct descendant of Abraham. But again, we have this promise coming from God, okay, towards Israel. Strangely enough, in this covenant, God demands obedience beforehand. He says, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, okay? So you don't see that in any of the other covenants. That is in this one alone. In terms of on the front end, God's like, you need to obey me and keep my covenant, right? And then you see where he says, he goes, "You shall be my own possession among all the people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and holy nations." So we didn't get that information in the covenant God made with Abraham. So here right now, and this is where we have to understand the difference between the covenant that God made with Israel and Mount Sinai, because it is different, right? And we're going to talk about that. This covenant is really, you see that God is about to make them his own possession, right? And they're about to be his kingdom of priests and holy nation. So in other words, what we need to understand before we really get into this covenant is, okay, God had a covenant relationship with Abraham, but God did not dwell intimately with Abraham. Like, the presence of God did not dwell with Abraham, didn't tabernacle with Abraham. Right here, we are about to see God enter a covenant where his holy presence is going to tabernacle with Israel. Okay? And that is why, here's the thing, when the presence of God comes to dwell within among a sinful humanity, there are a lot of things that have to happen to protect humanity from the holy presence of God. Okay, and so that's why the Lord is emphasizing obey, obey, obey. Obey my voice, keep my covenant, right? Because really their life is at stake because they now have a holy God dwelling among us, okay, or among them, excuse me. So that's why you get so much emphasis on the law, okay? The law is not to stay in covenant with God. That's what we need to understand. The law is not to stay in covenant with God. The covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants, okay, that there's no law that has to keep you in covenant in that covenant. This law that we're getting right here and that we're about to see in Mount Sinai, the law that comes with this covenant, right, that is to teach the people how to host the presence of God as he tabernacles among them without dying, right? Without his holiness consuming them. Okay, and we need to understand that. This is why you get the law. You need to do this. You get the sacrificial system. You get, you know, the Ten Commandments. You get all of these things because God is now coming to dwell intimately with his people. If God wasn't going to dwell intimately with his people, then they would not have to follow all these things. Okay, but because he is, there's a higher demand. The closer you get to the holy presence of God, the more demands there are for your cleanliness, your holiness, your purity, and just to be sin-free and spotless. right? Now, us being in the New Testament, we know Jesus has accomplished all that. All right, but this is why Paul refers to this law that you see right here through Moses as our tutor, okay? Because it shows us everything that needed to be accomplished for God to intimately dwell among us, right? And it's like, oh my gosh, it's impossible. Like that's the conclusion, is we realize it's impossible, we can't do it, and that's the whole story of the Bible. Well, it's not the whole story, but it's a major story. It's nothing you can do to allow God to dwell among you because you are sinful and you are just a weak humanity. It is only through His grace of sending His Son, Jesus Christ, that He can actually dwell among us, right? And so it just reveals His grace. So we see in Exodus 19 that God talks about entering this covenant. This covenant is probably not finalized, at least in the Exodus part, until Exodus 24, verse 5, where Moses builds an altar and offers burnt sacrifices. He sprinkles blood on the altar, reads from the book of the covenant, and then sprinkles blood on the people to finalize God's covenant. Okay, so it's a progression. Now, another important aspect of the Mosaic covenant is that it was built upon God's covenant with Abraham, right? So God's covenant with Israel is really in addition to God's covenant with Abraham. God had promised Abraham these things, and then he comes to the nation of Israel and he says, hey, you know what? I'm going to dwell among you. Okay, this is how you're going to be a blessing to the nations around you. My presence, the presence of God, creator of the universe, is going to dwell intimately among humanity through you, my people. Okay, and so this is where God gets a little more specific in His covenant, excuse me, towards Abraham. But again, the covenant with Abraham is clearly seen as the founding and central covenant, because if you go to Exodus 32:13, you know, Moses is talking to the Lord about Israel, who just fell into idolatry and sinned. And Moses says this. Moses doesn't, and this is, look, this is after God just made a covenant with Israel. Okay, so this is in Exodus 32, after God had made a covenant with Israel. Moses tells God this: remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and of this land of which I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So right here, we see something really important. Even though God had just made a covenant with Israel, Moses doesn't say, remember the covenant you just made with us. He goes back to the covenant with Abraham. He says, remember the covenant you made with Abraham. Why? Because Moses understood that all of this, it had nothing to do with Israel's ability to follow the covenant law. Okay, that again, remember, that has to do with hosting the presence of God. The covenant relationship that Israel, the nation of Israel, was in was actually because of the covenant that God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Okay, the person, the father Israel, not the nation. So we need to understand that. Moses understood that, which is why he called upon that covenant. He says, remember your covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Right? Remember that one. Okay? Even though they were in covenant relationship, he went back and said, this is the core of that covenant. Now, and you know, it's interesting. I think that's interesting that God did not remind, or Moses didn't remind God of the covenant he made with Israel, right? He reminded them one he made with Abraham. And so this allows everyone, the readers, to understand that the covenant with Israel is a direct result of the covenant of Abraham, okay? Now, if you keep going in after that incident in Exodus, with Exodus 32, where Israel sinned and fell into idolatry, in Exodus 34, you see the Lord renews His covenant with Israel, okay, because they have violated His first one. Again, remember, these covenants, the Abrahamic covenant is everlasting. And so this covenant that God is making with Israel on Mount Sinai is unique in the sense of it's more of a contract. Okay, this is the only covenant that we'll see that's a very kind of contractual. So what does that mean? That means, hey, my presence will be with you, but you have to do this, 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 and this. Okay, if you don't, there's going to be a punishment, there's going to be death, plagues, and then eventually God just takes His presence from them. Okay, that doesn't mean that they leave their covenant relationship with God. It just means that his presence can no longer dwell with them. And that says a lot, all right? And I think we need to understand that distinction. God remains in covenant relationship with them, but part of that covenant, which is to dwell among them, he just can't do, okay? Because they can't steward his presence. They can't host his presence because of the sin, the idolatry, the impurity, all of those issues, okay? And then it even goes into the book of Leviticus. Like, the book of Leviticus focuses on Israel's responsibility in this newly established covenant, okay? Their responsibility in how they are going to steward and host the presence of God. And you just go read that, and it's extremely tedious and complicated. And really, it's not an issue because it has nothing to do with the outward actions. It's more an inward action of the heart. Okay, so we'll see that the Lord says, okay, the new covenant I'm going to establish is going to be one within their heart. I'm going to write my law on their heart. I'm going to give them a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. I'm going to put my spirit within them. Okay, and so God addresses all the issues that we see here in the covenant that God made with Moses on Mount Sinai. He addresses those in his new covenant, right, which is pretty amazing. So we need to understand, so did God give a bad covenant to Moses and Israel? Absolutely not. He is giving them a covenant so humanity can see the difficulty and the problem of God's presence coming to dwell intimately with his people. Okay, it's impossible through human means. It's impossible. And so God wanted to show you, all this is leading up to the goodness and the grace of his son, Jesus Christ, coming to make a way for us to host his presence, right? And so Leviticus shows us kind of the contractual obligations on the end of Israel in order to have the presence of God and remain in that intimate presence. And then you get to the book of Deuteronomy. And the book of Deuteronomy emphasizes that covenant, again, between Israel and God, okay, right before they come into the promised land. The people are urged not to forget their covenant with God. It says that God is faithful to his covenant and will not forget it. Excuse me. They're reminded of God's love and kindness and faithfulness towards them. Okay. And the fact that he established his covenant with them personally. God says, I am personally establishing my covenant with you. Okay. And so that we need to understand that speaks a lot about his nature. And then the book of Deuteronomy ends with the Lord renewing his covenant again with Israel on Mount Moab. Okay, but there's no sacrifice there. It's just God's kind of renewing it with them. So you get all of these different covenants, which are all attached to the Mosaic covenant. So you see a bunch of them here, but it's important to understand that this covenant is very distinct from all the other ones, as I just said. If you go back and you read the covenant God made with Noah and Abraham, and then when we talk about the covenant God made with David, then you will see that God emphasizing that this is an everlasting covenant, an eternal covenant, right? And you don't get that strong language in the Mosaic covenant. Okay, you don't really get that covenant. And if you go look at all the other covenants, Adam, Noah, Abraham, David, and even the new covenant, God, it's almost like, hey, I'm going to do this, and I'm swearing by myself, and this is an eternal covenant. And again, you don't get that in the Mosaic covenant because it's a lot of contractual, you need to do this, you need to do this. If you do this, I'll bless you. If not, you'll be cursed. Okay. And again, I need to emphasize, it's because the focus of this is not to maintain covenant relationship with God. It's to be able to maintain the presence of God in their nation, which is a covenant promise, all right? It is a covenant promise that God would dwell among them. And we realize how impossible that is. So this is why Paul says that this is an old covenant. It's passing away because the glory of the new covenant. Okay, and he says, you know, if the old covenant, which this one was glorious, how much greater is the new covenant? Okay, so not only we don't have to follow the law, okay, they had to follow the law in order to host and maintain the presence of God within their people, within their nation. We don't do that. Jesus has fulfilled the law. He has fulfilled all these obligations, which means that God's presence can now come and tabernacle, not just within his people, but actually inside of you, right? You're now the temple. You are now the Holy of Holies, where God's Holy Spirit dwells. Is that not amazing? Okay, that's why God, that's why Paul says that the old is fading away and the new has come, right? And the new is so much more glorious because God has made a way himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, for his Holy Spirit to come and dwell among you. And he has fulfilled that original covenant obligation. You see how we see all these covenants are actually connected? So, look, the new covenant is the original covenant God gave. It's just he made a way to fulfill it because he's faithful, right? And it, all this through all these covenant studies, you should see the faithfulness of God. He didn't put it in the hand. You see, in the Mosaic covenant, he put it in the hands of the people, said, this is what you'd have to do to have my presence dwell among you. And it was impossible. So God didn't leave it into the hands of humanity and say, hey, fix it so I can come dwell among you. He said, look, I just want you to see, this is going to be your tutor. You see how hard it is for this to happen? Okay, now watch me. I'm going to make a way myself through my Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what he did when he sent Jesus. He made a way, and in doing so, he revealed himself as the faithful God, the God of covenants, who upholds his covenant no matter what. Okay, that, if anything, that should lead us into worship and just thanking the Lord for his goodness, because he is such a good God. He's such a faithful God. So that is it for today on today's covenant talk. We'll pick up tomorrow with the covenant, the Davidic covenant, the covenant that God made with David, and then we'll close up with the new covenant on another episode. So hope you guys are enjoying it. Look, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to post them right below or anything. So thanks so much for listening. You guys have a blessed day.